Today's shiur is Masechta Sot on Daf Lamed Beis. We will begin on Daf Lamed Aleph Amed Beis, 12 lines from the bottom of the Amid, at the beginning of the line with the word Tnan. We left off in yesterday's shiur with a machlokas between Ulla and Rav Chiya. Ulla had told us that since concerning Tumah and Eid Echad is believed, and we have a rule that kol makom shemina Torah eid echad harei kan shnayim, so the eitum is considered as if he is two eidim. And then we have a rule that if another eid echad would say loy nitma ein dvor shel echad b'makom shnayim, if so, the Gemara in yesterday's shir asked from our Mishnah, in the case of one eid who said nitmas and another eid said loy nitmas, and we said that the halacha was hoisa shoisa, that she would drink. Why should she drink? We say one aid cancels the other aid out, but according to Ulla, the first aid has a din of shnayim. If he has a din of shnayim, the second aid, we don't accept him. He does not have a din of shnayim. The Torah only gave the aid echad who says nitma. We learn from a pasuk in yesterday's shir that he has a halacha of shnayim. The other one does not have a halacha of shnayim. Therefore, the one that says loy nitmas, that she did not have an affair with that man during that time, should be canceled out. We should believe the eid echad said nitmas, and where we know that she was nitmas based on that eid echad's testimony, then the din is loy hayashaisa. That's what it should say in the Mishnah. And Ulla, in fact, amends the Mishnah, and so to Rabbi Yitzchak, amends the Mishnah and says loy haisa shaisa. However, Rabbi Chiya maintains the girsa the way we have it in our Mishnah, that in that case it's shosa. The Gemara asked the kasha on Rabbi Chiya lechora from Ula. It is difficult because it should be loy haisa shaisa. On that, the Gemara answers that Rabbi Chiya will say there's a chilik between bas achas and bazeh achaze. We had a machlokes Rashi and Tosfos what exactly the definition of bas achas and bazeh achaze is. But whatever it means, when do I say that the eid echad is neman like two? That's only bazeh achaze. If the second eid who said loy nitmas came later than the first one, and we already accepted the first one, Bezin accepted his testimony, then we don't believe the second one. Then Einech Nami the Din would be that Loi Hoysa Shoysa. But the Mishnah that says, according to Rav Chiya, that we do have the Girsa Hoysa Shoysa, it's speaking where both Eidim that contradicted each other came at the same time. And in that case, we don't believe the Eid Echad says Nitma. They cancel each other out. We have a suffix, and therefore the din is shosa. That's what we learned in yesterday's sugya. Now, on this, we begin from the bottom of the Amud, 12 lines from the bottom, with the first word on the line, tnan. We learned in our Mishnah, the next case, after the case of Eid Echad and versus Eid Echad, we had a case of Eid Echad, there's one Eid that's Oimer Nitmas, Ushnayim Oimrim Loi Nitmas, and there were two that said that she was not Nitmas. As Rashi explains, that the two Eidim said that you, the one Eid who says Nitmas, we were with you. The whole time that you were there, we were together with you. And during the period when you were there and you say that you saw that Nitmas, we can testify that Loi Nitmas. We don't know what happened before we three came into the room. Maybe she was nitmas then. That we don't know. So remains a suffix, and that's why the din is in the Mishnah hoisa shoisa that she would drink. So the Gemara is medayik ha chad v'chad loy hoisa shoisa. But if it would only be one versus one, we could be medayik that it's loy hoisa shoisa. As Rashi explains, that if chad versus chad would be the din shosa, which means that we don't accept the testimony of the Eid Echad who says Nitma, because if we accept the Eid Echad that says Nitma, the din is, once we know it's Nitma, it's Loi Hoysa Shoysa. So if the din by Chad V'Chad would be Hoysa Shoysa, that the second Eid is able to cancel out the first Eid, it remains a suffix, and it's Shoysa. So what do you have to tell me the din of one versus two? If one versus one, the second aid can cancel out the first aid. So certainly when it's one versus two, that the two can cancel out the first aid. And in fact, Rashi says, the whole case of 1 versus 2 is superfluous, because we know there's a rule, Ein Echad B'Makom Shnayim. So of course we believe the 2, and if we believe the 2, it means they're saying that while we were there, there was no Tumah. There remains a suffix, what happened before we got there, and therefore Choysa. It's simple. Why does the Mishnah tell us? Must be the Mishnah is telling us this din for its diuk, for what we can deduce, namely that it's only if it's 2 against 1 that Shaisa, but if it's 1 against 1, it's Lai Shaisa. Question on Rav Chiya, Tiyufta Rav Chiya. It's difficult on Rav Chiya because Rav Chiya says when it's 1 against 1, the din is Shaisa. Amalak Rav Chiya, Rav Chiya will answer, Ula Tamech, according to your reasoning, Ema Seifa. I have a question on you from the Seifa, from the last case in the Mishnah. You had a question on me from the second last case, which we're going to call the Reisha. I have a question on you from the Seifa. What does it say in the last case? Shna, Yimamrim Nitmas, Vecharam Eloi Nitmas. Two said that she became Tameh, and one said that she was not Tameh. Loi Haisa Shaisa. So it says in the Mishnah that she did not drink. Simple pshat is, we believe the 2 against the 1. The 2 said Nitmas, and we have a rule that whenever we accept the fact that she was Nitmas, she doesn't drink. So the din is Loi Haisa Shaisa. What can our deduction be at this point? Ha Chad V'Chad Haisa Shaisa. It's only when you have 1 against 2 that Loi Haisa Shaisa. But when you have 1 against 1, it's Haisa Shaisa. So Rav Chiya says, we have a contradiction from the Reisha to the Seifa. How do we reconcile this contradiction? If you're going to make a diuk from the Reisha against me, I can make a diuk from the Seifa against you. Ella must be, as Rashi explains, the Mishnah was not stated for its diukim. The Mishnah was stated for the halachas that it teaches itself, not for any deductions. Ella, kula b'psulei edus. You know what our Mishnah is speaking about? Something that is totally new to our whole discussion, and that is, we're speaking about psulei edus, people who are pasul edus, a woman, a eved, a shifcha, people who are normally pasul edus, v'rem nechemihi. And our Mishnah will follow the sheet of Reb Nechemia, the sanya we learned in the Mishnah, in a brisa. Reb Nechemia, Reb Nechemia says, kol mokim shemina Torah eid echad, wherever the Torah believes in eid echad. So one rule we all know, wherever the Torah believes in Eid Echad, then even a puzzle is also accepted. That we've learned before. But now Reb Nechemia comes up with a novel chiddush. We know that, for example, when two Eidim are believed, there is a loch of Trey Kameya. That if two fight, go against 100, it doesn't matter. 2 are equal to 100, and 100 are equal to 2. There's no bigger beerer in the Torah than two Eidim. That's by two kosher edim. However, here we're speaking about there's psulim. By psulim, we go with a new concept. And the new concept is roiv deyois, what majority rules. We don't say trei kameya, which would mean if you had 50 saying one way, 50 psulim saying one way and 51 saying the other way, the 51 would carry the day. That's the chiddush of Nechemia. Now, in the first, there's going to be two pshatim in Reb Nechemia. The first pshat in Reb Nechemia is that psulei edus, we go with the majority, even against a kosher aid. Even against one kosher aid, as the Gemara continues to explain. You go with a majority, which is different than the rule we have by regular two kosher aidim. If you have two women versus one man, it is equivalent. Just like one man is not believed in the place of two men, so too, one man who's a kosher aid will not be believed in the place of two psulim aidas. There's a tremendous chiddush here. That I have two psul aidim against one kosher aid, the two psul aidim will carry the day, and they will trump the Eid Echad. So Memela, what is the Gemara saying, according to Reb Chiya? This whole last two cases of the Mishnah, which seem to be saying simple things, which are that one Eid is not believed in the place of two, and therefore you were trying to make the Yukim. If it's so simple, what does the Mishnah have to say it? Don't make any deductions about our previous Shaila. Because you know what the last two cases of the Mishnah are speaking about? Pasula Eidus. And here Rav Chiya is telling us that the Mishnah is saying a tremendous Chiddush. It's going like Rav Nechemiah, that when you have Pasula Eidim, even if you have one kosher aid versus the two pasul aidim, we go after the two pasul aidim against the one kosher. So therefore, if the two pasul aidim said that the halacha was loy nitmas, we go after them. And therefore, that trumps the one aid kosher, even if he's kosher, who said nitmas. So therefore, during the period where all these three aidim were in the room together with the man and the woman, that we believe the two ate him, that nothing happened. We still have a suffix, what happened before the three witnesses entered the room? And on that suffix, the Mishnah says, Shaisa. What about the opposite? If I have one kosher aid that says, Loi nitmas, and I have two pasul aidim that says, nitmas, we go with the two pasul aidim that say nitmas, and we have a rule, wherever we take on that she was nitmas, the din is, Loi haisa shaisa. That's the chiddush of the last case in the Mishnah. The Gemara later is going to ask, so again you have a duplication of the same chiddush, that you always go Basar Roy Psulim against one kosher. What did you need the last two cases? You could have told me that chiddush in one case. So the Gemara at the end, right before the end of the parak, is going to ask this question, give a teret. So this is the first way to understand Rav Nechemiah. The Ikedi Amri is a second way to understand Rav Nechemiah. Kol Heicha Da'asa Eid Echad Kosher Mi'ikara Afilamea Nashim Namiket Echadami. If one aid kosher came first, and then even a hundred women came, he is considered like two aidim. He's believed. An aid echad by tum is believed. The hundred are not believed. It's like you're having one against two. The one kosher becomes two, and the hundred women are no better than one. And Mimela, what? We don't believe one against two. So if, in fact, the Eid Echad in our Mishnah would have been kosher, so what did the first sheet in Rav Nechemiah say? That the two or the hundred pasul women trumped the Eid Echad kosher? No. According to the Ikedi Amri, it's the one Eid kosher who trumps the hundred women that are pasul. And therefore, the din would be that we believe the one Eid who says it's kosher, the one aid who says it's nitma, and therefore the din would have been loy haisa shaisa. The hacha b'mayiskinen, and what are we speaking about over here? Kigoin da'asoy isha mikara. Oh, we have to say that in our Mishnah speaking, when you have one against two, everyone's puzzle. There's no, in the last two cases of the Mishnah, there's no kosher aidus whatsoever. There's a woman or any other apostle aidus that came, an Eved or a Shibcha came first. V'tirtzel Rav Nechemiah Hachi, here's how you should understand the words of Rav Nechemiah, what his dictum was. Rav Nechemiah Oimer, kol makim shemina Torah eid echad, wherever the Torah believed one aid, halach achar roiv deis, go after the majority. But don't go after the majority against one kosher aid. Go after the majority against the posel aid. V'asu shtei nashim b'isha achas kishnei anashim b'isha echad. They made two women against one woman, everybody posel, just the same halacha as two men against one man. Just like one man against two, we believe the two. So then one woman posel, who is posel, a psula, she will not be believed against the majority of two women who are posel. Avol, shtei nashim b'isha echad. But if you have two women against one man, what did the first day say in Rav Nechemiah? That we would believe the two women even against the one man? No, two women against one man. Ki palgo palgo dami. That is like 50-50, remains a suffix. So here, obviously, you right away have a contradiction that you have to explain, which is that on Amud Beis, Lamed Alef Amud Beis, at the bottom, what did we say? Kol heichad asa eid echad kosher mikara, afilu mein nashim namiket echad damyin. If you had one kosher aid, he's like two. And the hundred women are like one. And you don't believe one in the place of two. So therefore, if the first aid said nitma, he's like two, and therefore she won't drink. Here, what do we say? That if you have two women against one man, we say it's palga-palga, which means it's like one against one. They cancel each other out. It remains a suffix, and you do drink. If the nitmar came, and then the two women said, loy nitmar, it'll cancel each other out, it'll be a suffix, and you will drink. Over there we say, you believe the one that says nitmar, and she won't drink. The answer is, there, the Gemara was speaking about bezeh achar zeh. You remember from yesterday's shir, which we mentioned at the beginning of today's shir, that Rav Chia is mechalek between bezeh achar zeh and bevas achar. When do you say that one eid has a din of two eidim? That's only when it is bezeh achar zeh. So that's what we're speaking about at the bottom of Amud Beis. If the eid echad that says nitmar came first, he has a din like two, and therefore 100 women are like one. We don't believe the 100 women. We believe, according to the Sikkit the Amri, we believe the Eid Echad who says Nitmo, and therefore Loishoisa. But over here, what the Gemara just mentioned is when they're coming all at the same time, if it's all at the same time, Bezdin didn't have a chance to act upon the words of the Eid Echad Kusher who said Nitmo. So therefore, they can't, it's like Palga Palga means it's one Eid against one Eid. It's only half of two Adam, it's one against one, and they cancel each other out, and then the din is it's a suffix, and therefore shoysa. So it comes out, just to summarize, to make it clear, that we have a first shita in Rav Chia, and we have an Ikkad Amri. And the question, the difference between the first shita and the Ikkad Amri is, how far did Rav Nechemia go by saying that majority rules by Pasul Eidus? According to the first shita, he went so far that even if it's against an Eid Echad Kosher, we go with the Eidim Psulim, the majority. According to the Ikkad Amri, it's only when it's all psulim that we go by majority. If it's one woman against two women, we'll go with a majority. But if it's one man against two women, then we'll go with the one man who's kosher, and then it'll be enough kamina, whether it's bevas achas or bezeh achar zeh. Now the Gemara asks the kasha, according to your pshat, v'tarti b'psuli eidus lamoli. Why do I need the last two cases? And this question will be a question on the Ikkad Amri, and it'll be a question according to the first lashon in Reb Chia, pshat in Reb Nechemia also. Because basically the last two cases of the Mishnah are telling you one rule, which is, we don't believe one in the place of two. The question is there a kosher involved? Is there no kosher? Is it only psulim? That's already the machlokas. But the concept is the same, that you don't believe one in the place of two. So why do you have to say it twice? Tartim b'psulei islamali, ma hu the same I would think. Ki azalina basa roiv deyis l'chumra. When do I go with Reb Nechem Yeshit that you go with a majority? That's only l'chumra. Rashi explains what does l'chumra mean? That she will have to drink. So in the case where one said tamei and two said not tamei, and there we say that we believe the two, the majority that said not tamei. So then what's the halacha? Remains a suffix, and she has to drink. Ah, that's a chumrah. Then I'll say that the majority rules. Avol lekula, explains Rashi, when you're telling me she doesn't have to drink, and what case is that? If one said that she was not tamei, and two said that she was tamei. So when two say she's not tamei, two say she is tamei, the halacha is we believe the two that said that she is tamei. If she's tamei, she doesn't drink. That's a kula. So I would have thought, maybe if it's a kula, we don't say majority rules. Let's just make it like it's one against one. They cancel each other out. We have a suffix, and she would drink in such a case. Since you have some type of akhasha between one side and the other, maybe lekula we won't say majority rules. Kamash Milan, that's why I need the final case of the Mishnah, that even where majority rules by psulim will turn out to be a kula, and she won't drink, you still say majority rules according to Reb Nechemia, and she will not drink. Hadrin Aloch Mishakina, Hadrin Aloch Mishakina, Hadrin Aloch Mishakina, and we are now ready to begin B'siyata Rishmai, the next perek of Elu Ne'emorin. The Mishnah here will discuss many different mitzvos. Some of these mitzvos you're allowed to say in any language, and some of the mitzvahs you're only allowed to say b'loshon ha'kodesh, and basically which ones fall into which categories dependent on the lemudim from the psukim. Begins the Mishnah. Eilu ne'morim b'chol lashon. If you look in Tosfos, the first Tosfos in the parak, you'll see Tosfos has a different girsa. Eilu ne'morim b'lashonam. Not b'chol lashon. Tosfos says there's a difference how you're going to see in the Mishnah. Let's learn the Tosfos inside together. Upirish kol adam b'lashonai shehu shemeya. Shemeya here doesn't mean what he hears, what he understands. Eilu ne'morim b'lashonam, you could say it in the language of the person that he understands. Lafuke, to exclude. L'modai shein o'imer b'lashon parsi. A modai cannot say it in Parsi, which he doesn't understand. The main Hashem, if he doesn't understand it. Ava b'chol lashon, the way we have the girsa in our Mishnah, which is Eilu ne'morim b'chol lashon, mashma ben shemeya ben eina shemeya. That's mashma. You say it in any lashon, whether you know it, you don't understand what you're saying, it doesn't matter. U'b'gemara loy mashma achi. It's not mashma that you can say it in any language which you don't understand. I think what Tosfos is referring to is on Amud Beis, we'll see the Gemara says that you have to say it in a lashon, the Kayan, this is how it comes into our Masechta, because the first case is Saita, that he has to say to Parsha Saita, he's warning the woman, if you're going to go ahead with this and you're really guilty, you're going to have a horrible death. So he wants to say words that she understands what he's talking about. If he's going to speak in Swahili and she doesn't understand what he's saying, then there's no purpose to it. So you see that it has to be a lashon that she is going to understand what is being said. So Rashi says, let's start the first case. Eilu ne'morim b'chol lashon or b'lshoinim, as Tosfos has the girsa. Parsha Saita. The first one is Parsha Saita. So Rashi explains what the Kayan tells her, the Ola and the Shvua. He makes her swear and he tells her the curse, what's going to happen. So Rashi says, we don't say that he has to tell it to her in lashon kodesh the way it's written in the Parsha Saita. And he brings a Sifri, that the Sifri says that if the Pasuk, as we're going to learn, would not have been matter a Kayin to say it in any language, I would have thought that you have to say it in Lashon Kodesh. Why? Kal v'chomer by a Yevama. We're going to learn by Chalitza that you have to say it only in Lashon Kodesh. So madach by a Yevama, which is an easy thing. What's right? It's easy because if she is Mizana, while she's a Yevama, she's only over on a lav for Malkus, there's no Chiv Misa. So I would have thought if their Lashon Kodesh is required to Kal v'chomer for Saita, where you're dealing with an Isser, a Rayas, Eishes Ish, where it could be a potential, if she's warned by two Edom and they saw what she did, it could be Misa, Kanik. So there, maybe Kal v'chomer did you have to say it, B'Lashon HaKodesh, Kamashma, we're going to learn from the Pasuk, that Saita is said b'chol lashon. Now, what's interesting is that the Chafetz Chaim says that this that we say that you can use another lashon besides lashon HaKodesh, Tosfos says you have to understand that lashon. The Chafetz Chaim makes another provision. You can only use it in the country where it's used. If it's in a different country, the Chafetz Chaim says you cannot use it. Lashon HaKodesh you could use anywhere, but for all these dinim. But any other language can only be used in that country. So in the Sefer HaZikaron, Lemoran Baal Pachad Yitzchak Zitzal, the Rav Yitzchak Kutner, they put out a Sefer HaZikaron in letter 29, they bring down that Rav Kutner himself asked the Chafetz Chaim, this psak, which the Chafetz Chaim writes in the Bir Alocha, in Simon Samach Beis, Sif Katan Beis, Divri Amaschal Yachal Lekroisa, Rav Hutner asked the Chafetz Chaim himself, where is Parsha Saita made? Where is it administered? In the Beis HaMikdash, in Yerushalayim. So what's the language over there? Lashon HaKodesh. What is it nagea to me to say that you could say it b'chol lashon? According to the Chafetz Chaim who says that it can only be used in that country which uses that language, what's the nagea to Parsha Saita where it's a Hebrew, Lashon HaKodesh, in the Beis HaMikdash? Perhaps it is suggested that in the second base of Migdash, Rebbe, who lived after the second base of Migdash, so Negeya, the second base of Migdash, where there already people were using Lashon Arami, even in Yerushalayim, so there could be that the Mishnah is Negeya, that Parsha Saita is Nemra, Bechal Lashon, even in Aramis. Continues the... Before we go to the next case, Rabbi Moshe in Igros Moshe Archaim Chelakav Simulam Beis tells us that even if you're going to use Lashna Kodesh, for, let's say in Parsha Saita, in the second base of Migdash, when they use the Rami, you want to use Lashna Kodesh, the woman has to understand what she's being told. If you're going to use Lashna Kodesh and she doesn't understand, it doesn't work either. She has to understand what she's being told. And finally, the Shas who chooses her Rajba says that in any language that you say it, the Shem Hashem has to be the original Shem Hashem and cannot be translated. You could explain to her what the Shem Hashem is if she doesn't know, but it has to, that the Shem Hashem has to be said befeish. Continues the Mishnah with the next case. Uvidui Meiser. Vidui Meiser can be said in any language. As Rashi brings down, we know that there is a 7-year cycle. The first 2 years we give Meiser Rishon to the Levi and Meiser Oni to the Ger Yasim and Amana. We give Meiser Rishon and Meiser Sheni, which you have to bring up to the base of Migdash. We give Meiser Rishon and Meiser Ani, and on that's the first and second year, and on the third and sixth year, the fourth and fifth again, we give Meiser Rishon and Meiser Ani, and on the third and sixth year, we give Meiser Rishon and Meiser Sheni, which we bring to Yerushalayim. So on the fourth and seventh year, a person has to make sure that he's mevayer, that he has brought out everything that he owes to the various people that he owes these tzedakas to the Levi, to the Ger and the Yosef, and he's mitzvada, as Rashi brings down, and he has to bring the Meiser Sheni to Yerushalayim if he hasn't yet brought it in years 3 and 6. And what does he say? As it says in the Chumash, Biarti HaKodesh, that refers under Rashi on the first wide line, that refers to Meiser Sheni. Gam Nesatav Lelevi, that refers to Meiser Rishon. Lagerli Aser Amana, that refers to Meiser Ani. And he's not required to say this, what's called the confession of that I'm getting rid of, I'm giving out all my debts that I owe to these people. He's not mechuyif to say it the way it's written in the Torah. It's interesting. All the Meforshim want to know, why is this called Vidui Meiser? What kind of confession is there? So from memory, I believe I once saw from Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal that he explained it based on a pasuk which says, Shchoirani v'nave, I'm black and beautiful. So he explained that that's the pshat of Vidui Meiser. Because what does a person say by Vidui Meiser? Lo avarti mi mitzvay secho v'lo shachachti. I wasn't over on one slight mitzvah connected with Vidui Meiser. I didn't forget everything. I did everything perfectly 100%. So nave, beautiful. But in that itself is a confession. Shchaira, there's black. Why? Because why couldn't you do it with other mitzvahs? Why was this the only mitzvah that you were able to be perfect on? You could have been perfect in all other mitzvahs, in many other mitzvahs. The fact that you're saying that this is the one mitzvah that you did perfectly, in that itself lies blackness. You can be black and beautiful at the same time, and that's the confession, and that's why we call it Vidui Meiser. Continues the Mishnah. Kriyishma can also be said b'chol lashon. However, it is preferable to say it b'lashon kodesh. And if you say one of the miles of saying a Lashon HaKodesh is that even if you don't understand the words, the first pasuk of Shema Yisrael, that a person, even if he says the Lashon HaKodesh, has to understand what he's saying. But the rest, if he says it in another language, he'll have to understand. If he said it in Lashon HaKodesh, he has a mile, Lashon HaKodesh works, even if he doesn't understand. Utfila. The same thing is with Tfila, which means the Amida, Shmaina Esrei. He could say it B'chol Lashon. Again, it is better to say it in Lashon HaKodesh because because, as the Mefarshim say, that's what the world was created with. That is the Lashon that Hashem spoke to his Nevi'im. So definitely it's preferable. And again, if he'll say it in any other language, he has to understand. If he says it in Lashon Kodesh, he doesn't have to understand, with the exception of the first bracha, where there he must have Kavanah to understand what he is saying in Shemoneh Esrei, even in Lashon HaKodesh. And then, Ubirchas HaMazon, he can say in any Lashon. Ushvu Asei, this is when a person comes to someone and says, you know testimony for me in this case, can you please come and testify? And the person says, I don't know. And he swore on that, that Shua said this. And later he confesses that he knew and he said a lie. So he has to bring a korban oyla v'yayred. So that Shvua can be said in any Lashon. It doesn't have to be in Lashon HaKadosh. Same thing, Shvua sapikadon. If somebody went to a person and said, give me back what I deposited by you, and the person says, you didn't deposit anything, and he made him swear, and later he was mitzvah, so the din is that he has to pay keren v'chaymesh, so that again, that shvuah can be administered in any lashon. Continues the Mishnah, ve'elin amar b'lashon HaKadosh, and the following are said in only in Lashon HaKadosh. The first one is mikra bikurim. Mikra Bikurim and all the ones that follow, we don't say that we learn from the first cases in the Mishnah that you could say it b'chol Lashon, but here we have psukim that show us that you must say it likuva only in Lashon HaKadosh. What does Mikra Bikurim refer to? The first fruits, where he says, Arami Oyved Avi, from there until the end of the Parsha. And then the Chalitza, the Chalitza of a Yavim, when he doesn't want to make Yibim with her, she says, Me'en Yavami. He refuses to make Yibim. He says, I didn't want to take her. And after Chalitza, she says, Kacha Yasal Ish. So should be done to someone who doesn't want to do Yibim. And that's all said only in Lashon HaKadosh. And we're going to learn it out in the Gemara from a Pasuk. Brachas HaKlalos, which refers to when Yeshua brought Kal Yisrael into Yisrael. So they said Brachas HaKlalos on Har Grizim and Har Eval. As the Mishnah further here is going to explain how exactly they said the brachas and the klalos. The question that the Mefarshim ask is, what is this nageya? What's the Mishnah teaching us here? This is something that happened one time in history by Yeshua. It already happened. What do we have to learn it? So perhaps the answer is, because as we're going to see on Amid Beis, that many of the places where you learn that it has to be Belashon HaKadosh are learned from the brachas and klalos at Har Grizim and at Har Eval. So that's why the Mishnah mentions that just like the brachas and klalos were said only Belashon HaKadosh, so too other mitzvahs are learned from Har Grizim and Har Eval. Birchas Kohanim, which is Nesiyas Kapayim, when Kohanim Duchen has to be in Lashon HaKadosh. Birchas Kohen Gadol, after he finished Avoda Lifnei Lifnim, he went out and he read from the Torah, and he, on Yom Kippur, and he said eight brachas. Uparshas HaMelech, this is the Parsha of Hakel, at the end of the Shemitah, on Chol HaMoed Sukkos, where all the people gather together to hear from the Melech reading in the Torah. That has to be in Lashon HaKadosh. Parshas Egla Rufa, there's some, we find a dead body, and we don't know who killed, the dead person, we measure which is the closest city, and then there's a Canaan of that city, have to come out and say, Yadenu Lo Shafchu and Kapar Lamcha Yisrael, all those things have to be said in Lashon HaKadosh. U'mashuach Mechama B'shar Shemadabar Lam. And when the Mashuach Mechama speaks to the people and he tells them, as Rashi brings down, V'hoi Kikar Verechem, you can come near your enemy, and Shema Yisrael Atem Krevim Ayoyim, and don't be afraid of anything, those are the psukim Rashi brings down. It has to be Lashon HaKadosh. The Rishash points out that there's another part. Whoever, me, Asher, Bona, Bais, he was not Mechanech his house, and he, Eris Isha, he's in the Shana Rishayna, that Rashi doesn't bring down. So Rishash points out, it would seem that those psukim could be said B'chol Lashon, but the psukim that don't be afraid that Hashem's on your side, that can only be said in Lashon HaKadosh.
Begins the Mishnah further, Mikra Bikurim Ketzer. We're starting to explain the cases where you have to say it Beloshna Kodesh. Ketzer means Menayin. How do we know that Mikra Bikurim has to be said only Beloshna Kodesh? Because the Pasuk says, V'anisuvah Maitlof Hashem Lekecha. Because here it says that you should answer and say in front of Hashem, U'lahalonu Aymer, and further by the Brachas of Klolas, here's where we see that we learn out from the Brachas of Klolas, it says, V'anu Alevim V'amru, Ma'alahalam just like over there, the Gemara will learn out that the Levim by Har Griz and Har Evil how to say the Brachos and Klolos and Lashon HaKodesh. Afkam B'Lashon HaKodesh. So too over here, by Mikra Bikurim, it has to be B'Lashon HaKodesh. We're learning it out from the word Va'anu and Va'anisa Gzeh Rishava. Chalitza Keitza. Where do we know that Chalitza has to be said? The back and forth between the Yavim and the Yavim has to be said B'Lashon HaKodesh because it says Va'ansa Va'amra U'la'alanu Aymer, and by Har Griz and Har Evil it says, as we just learned, Va'anu Alevim. Rabbi Yehuda Aymer, and it would seem that Rashi had a two words extra here. Einoi tzorach, Rashi has a girsa. You don't have to learn it from Gzeir Shava, but rather from the parsha of Chalitz itself, you can learn it. Va'onsa, va'amra, kocha. This is the way. So from Kocha, Rashi's Mashma, Kaloshna Zer Timer. You should say it specifically with this language of Loshna Kosh. Acha Timer, Beloshna Zer. Brachas uklolos ketzad. How do we know that they said lashon hakodesh by the brachas uklolos? How did the whole thing transpire? Kivin shavu yisrael se yarden. When they went over the yarden with Yeshua, ubo har grizim har evil. They came to har grizim har evil. Shabbat Sharman, which is in Sharmon. Shabbat Sad Shechem. It's near Shechem. Shabbat Eitzel Alone Mora, and it's near Alone Mora. Shenemar. The pasuk says concerning har grizim har evil. Haloheima beva yarden ulahalon and elsewhere. First of all, what is the whole pasuk by Har Grizmar Evol in Dvorim Yud Aleph Pasuk Lamed? Haloheima be'ever ayadim achri derech mavoy Hashemesh be'eretz haknani ayosh barava mula gilgal eitzel alone morah. That's the pasuk there. Ulahalon by Avram who oimer vayavra Avram be'eretz ad makom Shechem ad elon morah ma elon morah morah lahalon Shechem. Just like that, elon morah is Shechem. Afelo by Avram afelo morah by Har Grizmar Evol homer kan. It's also Shechem. And then what happened? Shisha Shvatim Alu Rosh Har Grizim. There were six Shvatim, which is mentioned in the Chumash, which the six Shvatim were. They went up to the Har Grizim. Veshisha Shvatim Alu Rosh Har Evil. They went up to Har Evil. Vakahan Valvim Vorn Imdim Lamat Bamsa. The Kahan, the Levim, and the Aron were standing at the bottom of the two mountains, in the middle between the two mountains, in the valley between the two mountains. HaKahanim, HaKifim, and Aron. The Kahanim were surrounding a circle around the Aron. While Levim, and HaKahanim, there was a circle of Levim around the Kahanim. The Chol Yisrael, Mikan, Umikan, and the Jews were standing, some were six Shvatim on Har Grizim, and six Shvatim on Har Evil. Shenemar, the Chol Yisrael was Kain, the Shaita, the Shaita of Oimdim, Mizeh, Mizeh. They were standing from this mountain and that mountain. La'arin, on each side of the Arin, Hafku Panem Klapi Har Grizim. So the Levim turned their faces toward Har Grizim. Upasku B'Brachli Sarah with a Bracha. Boruch Ha'isha Sherlo Yasa Pesel Masecha. The blessed is the man who doesn't do an Avodah Zor. Ve'elu Ve'elu. And the people, the Jews on Har Grizim, the Jews on Har Evil, Oinin Amen. They answered Amen. Hafku Panem Klapi Har Evil. Then the Kohanim and Levim turned towards Har Evil. Upasku B'Klal. They began a Klala. What did they say? Oruch Ha'isha Pesel Masecha. Ve'elu Ve'elu Oinin Amen. And again, the Jews on Har Grizim and Har Evil both said Amen. Rashi points out that if you look in the Chumash, you'll see only the Klola is mentioned. The Bracha is not mentioned, but Rashi says every Klola was preceded by a Bracha. So if the Klola said, the Bracha was just the opposite. And Rashi also points out that even though it says in the Pasuk that it would seem that Klal Yisrael ve'ela yamdu levorech, that these who are going up on the mountains, they're going to give the bracha. In reality, it was the Levim who gave the bracha and the Klala. And Klal Yisrael said Amen. By saying Amen, it was as if Klal Yisrael gave the bracha and the Klala, but really, it was the Levim. Ve'ela ve'ela Amen. Atchigayim and brachas and klalas until they finished their brachas and klalas. Va'achar kach and afterwards, ha'viyus avadim. They took the stones. These were large stones that were found in the Yarden after there was the splitting of the Yarden. They found huge rocks. Ubanim is a mizbeach. They built an altar, as Rashi brings down, because they had to bring on the altar the last Rashi on the Amid, Oilus Ushlamim. Dichsev, Alisa, all of Oilois. So they built the Mizbeach to bring Oilois to Shlomo. Visadubis said they plastered it with plaster. Vikasru Alav, and they wrote on these stones as Kol Divrei HaTorah B'Shivim Lashon. The whole Torah in 70 languages, Shenamar, Ba'ir Heitev, explained very well, which means in 70 languages. Now, what was written on these stones? There's a Machlokes Rishonim. The Rav Sadia Goin says that all that was written on there was Taryag Mitzvahs. The Ramban and Rabbeinu Bechaye say that the whole Torah was written. And Einach and Ami have to say it was Alpines, because not only was the whole Torah written, but it was written in 70 languages. So it was certainly a very big nest that it all fit on the rock. Or they say it was really humongous, huge rocks, and they were able to, B'derech HaTeva, put all 70 languages of the entire Torah on these rocks. What was the purpose of putting it on? So there's a Rashi further on Daf Lamed Hey Amid Beis, Divri Amaschal Heich Lom De Umas Oilam, where Rashi says, the only purpose was, Lovoy Lalam De Kola Reitze, Shalla Yehe Pischein Pelo, Isma Umas Limer, Loy Hoyolanam Heich Lalam De. That the Goyim shouldn't say, we didn't get a chance to learn the Torah. Hashem says, I'm writing it down in every language. Here it is. You too can learn the Torah. Don't say you didn't have a chance to learn Torah. I heard from Rabbi Yitzchak Izbi Zitzal, who gives the Daladuff, you can still hear him today. He said over from the Chedushei Arim, that the Chedushei Arim said by Moshe Rabbeinu at the beginning of the Sefer Dvarim, where it also uses the Lashon Bar Heitev, and Rashi there explains in Shivim Lashon, says the Chedushei Arim, what was the purpose? Because Moshe saw Baruch HaKadosh HaKlal Yisrael would go into Golis, and they would be speaking English or French or Chinese or Japanese like we do. They would be speaking other languages, so Moshe wanted to show that the Torah is applicable to all ages and all countries, all languages, all cultures. He wrote a B'Shivim Lashon. So perhaps, too, over here, when they came into Eretz Yisrael and they wrote the Torah on these huge rocks, perhaps, too, they wanted to give over the same message that Torah is eternal and it can apply to every language and every culture. Continues the Mishnah on the last line of the Amud V'Natlus Amvanim. Then they broke down the Mizbeach, and they took these huge rocks. Ubo, as we turn to the Aflamed Beis, Amed Beis, V'lanabim Kaiman, and they rested in their hotel overnight in Gilgal, which was where they established these rocks there, and that's where the Mishkan would be for the 14 years of Zion Shekivshu and Zion Shechelku. Begins the Gemara, Parsha Saitim in Olan. How do you know the Parsha Sait can be said in any Lashon? The Omer, Akoyin Le'isha, B'chol Lashon Shewaimer. He says to the woman, the Parsha of Saita, in any language that he says. Rashi has a different girsa here, because according to our Gemara, the Pasuk that is being mentioned is Bamidbar Hei Pasuk Chaf Aleph. And Rashi says that really the correct girsa should be Hachi Garsinin Va'amar Ela Isha, which is Perik Hein Bamidbar Pasuk Yates. So the Meiri explains the girsa of our Gemara is from the repetition. Because it already said Va'amar Ela Isha, why does the next pasuk say Va'amar Kayin La Isha? So our Gemara learns that he could say it B'chol Lashon. However, the way Rashi understands it, it's from the first pasuk, not from the duplication. Va'amar Eloisha, and what does Eloisha mean, says Rashi? Mashma dvorim anichnasim beliba, shetehema keres beloshen. And I think that's where Tosfos on Amud Aleph got, that she has to understand. It has to be a language that she understands. Otherwise, how will it go into her heart? So Rashi learns it from the pasuk of Va'amar Eloisha. He tells it into it, it goes into her heart that she should understand the seriousness of what's about to happen. Tana Rabbana, Mashmino Yisabu Choloshin Shishamatz. You can tell it to her in any language that she understands. Alma Hishoisa. First of all, you tell her why she's drinking. In other words, the preetzas that she was involved with other men, that led her to have to drink. Ubamehi shoisa, and what she's going to be given the water to Me'amorim in will be a fire pot, a disgusting earthenware fire pot. Alma nitmas, and what led to her doing an aveira and becoming tamei? As the Gemara will explain, it was her levity, her immaturity, kalis rosh, and the reason we're telling her all this, Rashi says, is because the pasuk in Yecheskel says, "V'noisu kol anashim." We want other women to get chastised, to be afraid of, and not to treat these things lightly, and that's why we tell her all these things to frighten other women that they should not go down this path. Ubamehi nitmas, and when she will become tame, says Rashi, that the waters will only be boidic if it was a mezit. But let's say she did the avera, but it was b'shoigig or b'oynis, then the water won't work. And why do we, the Gemara is going to explain why, in fact, do we tell her this? She shouldn't be mitzi laws on the water. She could think to herself, I know that it happened to me. And you know what? If I would have done it b'mezit, the water wouldn't work either. Just like it's, so we tell her no. There's no just like. You know why you got away with it now is because it was oynis or shoygig. But had you done it b'mezid, you would have seen how the water would have worked. Now the Gemara is going to explain everything that they just said. Ama he shoyse al iske kinevistira. Since the husband warned her and she went into hiding and she was parutz, that's why she drinks. Ubamei shoyse, what is she going to drink? B'makida, in a fire pot, shall cheres of earthenware. Alma nitmas, why did she become tome? Al iske schoik v'yaldus, because of laughter and immaturity. Ubamei nitmas, when does she become tome? When is she forced to drink the maimon? B'shoyge b'mezid. B'oynisar b'ratzin. As we tell her, that b'shoyge it won't work the water, b'mezid it will, b'oynis it won't work, b'ratzin it will. V'chol kach lama. And on this last din, we ask her, what does she have to know hilchas saita? A dayan has to know hilchas saita. Well, why is it negated to her? B'shloima, all the other things Rashi says is because of the pasuk of Yecheskel. We want to frighten other women; they shouldn't go down this path. So we say, look what laughter and immaturity and the flirting with the men. Look what that brought about. We don't want them to go down that path. But here, this is stam hilchasaita. What does she have to know it for? The answer is shloimaitzilazamayimamorim. She knows she committed that vera, but it was boinus. She'll think to herself, if the water doesn't work, if I would have done it b'mezid, it wouldn't have worked either. The answer is no, b'mezid it would have worked. The next case in the Mishnah, which you could say b'chol lashon, is v'ri meiser. Minolan, how do you know the sivah martel of name of Hashem alekecha? B'yarti ha-kodesh min abayis, you say in front of Hashem, I removed all the kodesh, the meiser oni, the meiser rishon, the meiser sheni from the house. And v'yolof ha-mir misaita b'chol lashon shum ha-mir. Just like by saita we had the pasuk. V'omar ha-koyen la-isha, here we have v'omarta, m'meli making zera shavah, that just like by saita is b'chol lashon, here too is b'chol lashon. On this, omar le-reb zvid la-bayi, I have a kasha, v'leilof ha-mir m'levim. Why don't we learn omar gzera shavah for levim? By the levim, which was har grizim har evil, it also says, v'arnu ha-levim v'amru. And there the Gemara later is going to learn that by the levim, by har grizim, it has to be b'lashon ha-koyen. So maybe vidri meiser has to be v'lashon ha-kodesh gzera shavah from the levim by har grizim. Malahalim v'lashon ha-kodesh avkam v'lashon ha-kodesh. The Gemara answers, donen amira gredesa amira gredesa. They ain't donen amira gredesa amira amira. Over there by soita, from where we're learning it, it says v'amar. And by vidri meiser, it says v'amarta. However, by the levim, it says v'anu v'amru alevim. We learn out Amira from Amira and not Amira from the Anu. That's why we learn it from Saita, and you could say it b'chol lashon. Tanya Rav Shimon Yochai Oimer. Tanya Rav Shimon Yochai Oimer. Adam Oimer Shvach b'chol namach ugnusa b'chol ram. A person should say his own praise in a low voice. If he accomplished something, he shouldn't boast high about it. Do it very lowly. Vignusai. And his shame, he should say b'chol ram loud. How do you learn it? Shvacha b'kol namoch min vidri meiser. That I learned from vidri meiser, because he says, lo yavarti min mitzvah yisach v'lo yishachachti. He pats himself on the back. As we mentioned this pasuk before, I did this mitzvah perfectly. There was not one iota of the mitzvah that I didn't do correctly. So that's a shevach of himself. Say that quiet. Why, how do I know you say it quiet? Because it doesn't say v'anisa v'amarta. V'anisa would mean say it out loud, boldly. No, v'amarta, you say it very quietly. But b'gnusai, Mikal Ram. But Gnusoi, that he says Mikal Ram. What is the Gnus? Says Rashi. Arami Oivet Avi. And the Gnus is that he is Misvada, that his father, his great grandfather, Lavan Arami, was a Rasha. So that he says loud. Shvachai Mikal Namoch. Min Viruya Meiser. Gnus Mikal Ram. That's Mi Mikre Bikurim. That we see from Mikre Bikurim where he speaks about Love and Arami. Frey the Gemara Gnusa Bikal Ram. Is that true that you say you're Gnus Bikal Ram? V'am Rab Yerech Mishum Rab Shimon Yechai. And it's the same Rab Shimon Yechai here who says, Mimneima Tiknu Tvila Balakash. Why do we say the Amida Shemaina Esrei? Quietly, as Rashi says, we see a precedent, the Gemara and Bracha says, from Chana, that Eli Akoyin Vekoilo Lo Yishamea. He saw her lips moving, but he didn't see he didn't hear her saying anything. And she was davening Shemaina Esrei at that time, and she was saying it very quietly. So the Chazal saw precedent from Chana. But what was the reason that they wanted to do it? Because during Shemaina Esrei, a person is misvada on his chatoim, and they didn't want to embarrass the people or over Averis. That's why it said quiet. So you told me that Gnus is said loud. Here we see a person's shame is said quietly. How do we know that the Torah is sensitive to a person not having to embarrass himself in public? Because where is a chatas shechted? The same place where an oil is shechted, which is north of the Mizbeach. So if a person sees someone bring a korban to the Mizbeach, he doesn't know if it's a chatas or an oil. The person who's bringing the korban is not embarrassed. If the chatas would be on the north side and the oil on the south side, every time he brought a korban on the north side, we would know he didn't have air. So you see the Torah is very sensitive that a person's busha should be covered up. So that's why we say, so how do you say Reb Shimon Yochai that Gnusai Bekal Ram? You yourself, Reb Shimon Yochai, says that Gnus should be quiet. That's why Shimon Esrei is quiet. And for the Gemara, Loitame Gnusai Alei Metzara. You're right. Gnus and Avera, you have to say quietly. But when we're talking about what a person suffered, like here, Arami Ovid Avi, that we suffered all at the hands of Lavan Arami, that tsar, that a person should say loud, and the Gemara is going to explain, because other people should daven for him. The Mephoshim ask, what do you have to daven on Arami Ovid Avi? That happened already. What are you saying that tsar loud? So other people should daven for you. This is something that happened thousands of years ago. So the Mephoshim answered that you're davening that shouldn't happen again to you. On that, you're allowed to say that you're tsar loud that people should daven that it shouldn't happen again. Kedesanya, by a mitzora, v'tomei tomei yikra, he should call out on himself, I am tomei. Tzorach leidi tsar l'rabim, he should tell his tsar to the masses. V'rabim v'akshim olav rachamim. The chol mishir by dover, anybody who a misfortune happened to him, tzorach leidil rabbi should tell a lot of people. The rabbim of Akshav of Rachman, that many people could daven for him. It's interesting if you look in Rashi, the Marshal points this out that Rashi says tami tami yikra kolaimer suru me olav shetomehu, go away from me, I am tomei. Which is really not what the Gemara says. And in fact, in Moed Katan Daf Hey, it says both reasons. One is that he's telling people, don't come near me, I'm Tameh. And number two, be Mevakesh Rachamim. But our Gemara is stressing the point that you should be Mevakesh Rachamim. It is a little strange, points out the Mashoda. Rashi quoted the other reason of the Gemara, that go away from me, that I am Tameh. The Mashoda also points out that he asks a question, that here it says you're supposed to daven quiet to be cover up your Averis. People shouldn't hear about it, not to advise yourself. And in the Gemara says in Brachas that anybody who davens Bekol Rum, he's Mektaneh Amon. He thinks the only way Hashem could hear him is if he screams at the top of his lungs. So it would seem to be different than our Gemara. The Marshal answers that one Gemara follows the other. That if everybody would daven b'kol rum, then nobody would be a Mektanei Amana. That's the minig. Everybody's doing it, so that it wouldn't be Mektanei Amana. But now that our Gemara established that you should be quiet, because you should cover up your any averis that you do, that you should say it quietly. So if this person goes ahead, and when everybody else is saying it quietly, and he says it loud, so then he is Mektanei Amana. Continues the Gemara Gufa, we have learned. Amar Rabbi Yechim, Shem Rabbi Shem Rechayim, Neymah Tiknu Tula Balacha, Shal Levayish, Shal Evra Avera, Shal Rele Chilka, Kasa Maka, Men Chatas Lo, Oila. There's no difference in the Shechita place between the Chatas and Oila to cover up if anybody did an Avera, it shouldn't be embarrassed. Veloi? And there's no, Rashi explains, there's no other way to figure out whether the person is bringing a Chatas or an Oila. Vayika Domim. Why can't people look at the dam? Dam chatas lamalo, the dam are lamata. As Rashi says, it says by a chatas al karnois, and that means on top of the chuta sikra, the red line that went around the mizbeach. And by oil, it doesn't say karnois, so oil can be done under the chuta sikra. So a person will look, where is the dam being applied? Answers the Gemara, who's standing there when the dam is applied? Hasam Kayan who the yada. There's only the Kayan. Nobody else sees the dam being applied. And a person is not embarrassed if just the Kayan, if the rabbi knows what went wrong, I'm not so embarrassed. If the whole shul's gonna know, I'm be embarrassed. So here the Kayan knows that, I'm not so embarrassed about. Why can't people figure out what you're bringing from the fact that a chatas is an akeva and an oila is a male, is a zacher? The Gemara answers, they don't realize it. Hasam mikse balya. The nakvus of the female nekeva by the chatas is covered by her tail, so nobody knows if she's a zacher or a nekeva. Tinach kevsa, that's good by a sheep. Seira maikla meimer, but by a goat, the tail does not cover, so you will be able to see that this is a female goat. And he, if he's bringing an oila, it should be a zacher. He's bringing nekeva, it's a riot that he did an aveira. And for the Gemara, hasam iu to come mikse nafshe. There, he's embarrassing himself. The boilerly sui kivsa v'komai sira. As Rashi explains, for every chatos, you have a choice between a sheep or a goat. You could have taken a sheep and the tail would have covered and nobody would know if you bring a zocher and a keva. You decided to bring a goat and therefore the tail doesn't cover so people see whether it's a zocher and a keva. You're bringing, if you're not embarrassed, so we don't have to be more embarrassed than you yourself. The only place Rashi says that you have to bring a seira is by a chatas concerning avodah zarah. Immediately the Gemara asks, chatas davar is kachovim doi sagi dolav seira mayikle meimar. So fakeret, by a chatas of avodah zarah, if that's what he's bringing, so there everybody will know that he did an avera. How do we protect him there? He has to bring a seira. He doesn't have a choice of a kivsa. And a seira the tail doesn't cover. People will know it's a zocher nekeva. Nekeva, bring a chatas. So you see, you're not worried about his busha. Answers the Gemara, Hosam nichsif v'nezel. There, by avodah zarah, you did such a terrible avera. You should be embarrassed more and more. Keheched in the chaperle. There, we want you to suffer embarrassment because we want you to get a good kapor for this terrible avera avodah zarah you did. So there, we're not sensitive to your busha. We want you to get busha. But by another avera, enechanami, you should bring a kivsa. If you don't bring a kivsa, that's your own decision to embarrass yourself, and we don't have to be more worried than you yourself. And we will continue tomorrow with the next part of our Mishnah, Kriya Shema.